The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
We're going to again continue with Parashas Bereishis. This will be the fifth in the series. And last week we spoke about the chait, the aveira of Adam v'Chava, of eating from the Eitz Hadas Tevara, the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And we explained what that tree was. Now we'll carry on. It states in Bereishis Gimel, Pasuk Tes, Vayikra Hashem Elokim Elo Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to man. He heard the voice of Hashem and they concealed themselves. So Vayikra Hashem Elokim Elo Adam, Hashem called to man, Vayemalei Ayeko, and he said, where are you? In the Sefer Torah to Mima, on this posuk, he brings from Masechta Derech Eretz. Tanya la'elam al yiknas odem pisaim leveis chaveroi. A person should not enter the house of his friend suddenly, but he must enter either upon invitation or letting him know first that he's coming. Shouldn't barge in. And this is a derech eretz. Good manners. The yil may call odom derech eretz min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this we can learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who also practiced derech eretz, so we can learn from it. Sho'amar al Pesach HaGan v'kore lo odom. He didn't just barge into Gan Eden to look for man and woman, but he stood by the gate of Gan Eden and he called to him first. Shnema v'yikra Hashem Elokim Elo Odom. As it states, he called to Hashem. Excuse me, Hashem called to man and said, where are you? And then he came in. This is what is stated in Masechta Derech Eretz Perkei. The Torah Tamima brings a Gemara in Masechet Nida, Daf Tes Zainom at Beis, Dalet Dvorim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zainom. There are four things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. Echad Mehem, and one of those that are listed there, is Anichnas LeBeis Chaveirei Pisaim, someone who barges into a home unannounced, Vafilu LeBeis Yishalai, and even in his own home. Even in his own home, he should not come in peace, suddenly just barge in. Has to give a warning first. And then he writes, Tama Dovra Poshut, Mimne Shein Zemimida Satsnias Vahakovet, Lagabi Habais, Vishema Eina Muchonim, Lakabel Bekovet Aroi. He says, the reasons for this are obvious. This is not their heretz, it's not Snias, it's not. good manners or modesty, and it's not derech hakovet, it's not giving honor to people, because the people, when they want to receive guests, they want to be ready to receive guests for both for themselves and for the other person also, so they could be machabed those people properly. And you just come in suddenly and they could not be probably ready or for either for themselves or for the others. This we find also, and we could say this is where Moshe Rabbeinu learned it from, in Parshas Vayikra, right at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. We spoke on this on a Shabbos not long ago. After Moshe Rabbeinu completed the whole Mishkan, which we have four or five sedras to deal with this, Truman, Tzave, Kisiso, and so forth. And this was the ultimate, the sanctuary, because here the Torah would be placed, and this is where Moshe would always be in order to be makabel pnei Hashkina, in order to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu and hear from him all the Divrei Torah. So it states Vayikre al Moshe Vayidaber Hashem Elov Me'ohel Me'id Lemor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to Moshe to come in. So the Chazal, the sages asked, what do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to him? The Mishkan was ready, the sanctuary was ready, so Moshe should go in. So he says, no. From Derech Eretz, this is a Medrash in Tanhuma. Because of Derech Eretz, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't go in. Not until he was asked to come in. So he waited. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to call to him by Yikra. And even though there couldn't have been a greater mitzvah than this. And on this, the Medrash Tanhuma says, we learn from here Derech Eretz. And we learn from here that called Talmud Chochem She'en Bei Das Afilo Nevela Tevei Meno, that a Talmud Chochem, but if he lacks Das, if he lacks the ways of the world, the Derech Eretz of the world, then unfortunately even a Nevela, the hide of a dead animal, is greater than him. Now what does that exactly mean? That's a long discussion, and that we spoke about at a Broch on Shabbos not long ago. But we see that two things, that this is a Derech Eretz, and secondly, where did Moshe learn this from? He could have learned it from here, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he came to Adam and Chava, by Yikra, first he announced himself that he is here and he wants to come in. Now, then he says, where are you? So they said, well, we heard your voice, and we became afraid because we're naked. So we went and concealed ourselves. Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? Now from here we see the weakness, even though man is the Bechir Mikola Nivroim, the greatest of all of the creations, and the whole world was created for him, and his greatness is unlimited. But we also see his weakness. Mitzvah achas oyu mitzavabo. Man was given one mitzvah. He wasn't given six mitzvahs like he was given later. He wasn't given seven mitzvahs like the B'nai Nayach. He wasn't given Taryak, 613 mitzvahs, like Yisrael were given. At this point, he was given one mitzvah, over aleha, and he couldn't keep it. And how long did it take them to transgress the mitzvah? B'shishi nivro, they were created on the sixth day. B'shishi nitztavu, on the sixth day they were commanded with the mitzvah. And b'shishi, they were over v'choto, and on the sixth day they transgressed the mitzvah. And this is what Rashi explained before, where it says that after they ate from the fruit, so their eyes opened. Vatipokachno, this was in Pasuk Zayin, Nei Nishneim v'yeduki erumim heim, and they realized that they were naked. Rashi says, no, it doesn't mean physically naked. Mitzvah achas hoyusa biyodum v'nisa artelu heimenu. They were naked from mitzvahs. They had one mitzvah, and they lost it. That's from Bereishis Rabbah. So we see from here that even though man is so powerful and so great, at the same time, he can fall, and he can fall quickly. That's why a person has to be very careful. The Mishnah Masechta Avos, it states, Al tamin ba'atzmocho ad yemeischo. The person must be careful and not become overconfident in himself until the day he leaves this world, because as long as he's in this world, he's constantly facing great challenges and great threats. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronted the man, and he said, the mitzvah, the tzivui, the command that I told you not to eat from this tree, did you eat from it? So he answered, Vayema odo moisha shenosati nosato imodi hi nosno li mina eitz. He shifted the blame to the woman. And he said that the woman that you gave to me, she gave me from the tree, Ba'oichel, and I ate. Now, look, shifting the blame to the woman, that could be one thing, because she certainly had a great hand in it. But he should have merely said that Ha'isha nosna l'mina eitz. The woman gave to me, and I ate. What did he mean by Ha'isha asher nosata imoti? The woman that you gave to me. What's that got to do with it? That we know. So the Chazal learned in here that he was not only shifting the blame to the woman, he was shifting the blame to Hashem. He said, it's not my fault, it's your fault. You gave me this woman. And she was the one that was machshel me. She was the one that brought me to this gate. You shouldn't have given her to me. And then I wouldn't have been chayter. See, this is what he inferred. Ha'isha asher nosata imoti. The woman which you gave me, it was through her that I was chayter. So it's not my responsibility, it was your fault. Now, from here the Chazal say, Mikan, Rashi brings, Kofa b'tova. From here we see that he was a Kofar b'tova. What does that mean? Kofar b'tova means an ingrate, someone who's not grateful. Why? Because Rashi brings, now here Rashi doesn't say, but in the Gemara, see, Rashi brings that why are you pointing the finger at HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if he did something wrong to you? He gave you a wonderful great gift. He gave you an Ezer Kenegdoi for you. And there couldn't be anything greater. And when someone gives you a wonderful great gift, and if you misuse it, that's, you don't go back to him and say that it's your fault, you shouldn't have given it to me. Now this is a Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Gemara brings in Avodah Zarah Daf Hey, Seif Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, what it says when Klal Yisrael came to Har Sinai, and there they heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu start to give the Torah, they became very frightened, and they said to Baisha that we're too afraid to be here. We're afraid we're going to be consumed by all of the fire and all of the thunder and everything else. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mi Yitain, and Baisha told them this over later on in the Devarim Hey. Miyitein v'hoye lavavam zelohem, that Meisha told them, so if you will not be here, well, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you will not be by the mountain, miyitein v'hoye lavavam zelohem liyira aisi v'lishmores kol mitzvah saikol ayomim. So who will give it over to you in order that you shall fear me all of your days, and you shall guard my mitzvahs? And they didn't say anything. And ultimately, Moshe was the one. They heard the first two commandments from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Aseres HaDibros. And the rest of the commands, Moshe only heard, and he gave it to them. And then after that, Moshe told, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told everybody, go home, and Moshe will remain with me for 40 days. So when Hashem told them that if you will not stay here, who will give you the Torah, that you shall fear me and that you shall guard my mitzvahs all of the days. Then they didn't say anything. At that time they should have answered to Moshe that you will give it to us, you can do it. They didn't want to. And the Gemara brings, this is how Rashi and this is how Tosfos says, they didn't want to admit and to declare that Moshe can do the job, so therefore they didn't say that. And this was a kfiyas hatov. Moshe had done so much for them. They always had their complaints against Moshe. They should have come out and said explicitly, Moshe, you can give us the Torah. You listen to the mitzvahs and you give us the Torah. They won't do that. So the Gemara says, you see from here that they were kofei teiva. And we see they were kofei teiva b'nei kofei teiva. They not only were kofei teiva, they were ingrates. They were ungrateful, but they were the sons of other ingrates. Because before them, when Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, they were in the desert, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the man. And I'm just trying to think if that was before or after, though. No, the man was before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the man. And here the man was such a wonderful bracha. And later on they come and they say, V'nafshenu kotzo V'lechem ha'klei kol, that we are sick and tired of this food. And meanwhile the man encompassed everything. It encompassed all of the tastes of the world. And we are sick of this lechem ha'klei kol. So therefore this ungratefulness already was historical with them. And then the Gemara goes further. We see that even from Adam Arishon, because Adam Arishon started it, he said, Isha Hashem Asati Modi Hinosnali Mino Eitzva Echel, that when instead of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving him such a wonderful gift, he blamed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, it's your fault because you gave me this woman, this is why I sinned. Rashi says, Loshin Genaihu, Shetola Hakilkalo, Bimatnose Shel Mokan, Bihu Asole Leizer. Kodesh Baruch Hu did man such a wonderful, gave man such a wonderful brocha, and you turn around and you blame him for that. So therefore, they were kofei teiva. We find it even further in the Parsha Noach. The Torah says the same thing, that after the Mabul, after the flood, so we have there where the Ir Amigdal, this is in Parshas Noach, Perek Yud Aleph, Vayemru Hovon Nibne Lonu Ir Amigdal V'Reisha Bashomayim V'Nasa Lonu Shem. The peoples that were left over after the flood, and they all spoke one language, so they were all united, they said, let's go build for us a great city and a great tower, and the tower will go into the heavens. And the intent was is that they will make war against HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make sure that another flood will never come. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu descended to see the city and to see the tower which the sons of man were building. So Rashi brings that the sages ask the question. They ask a question: what does it mean b'nei Odom to see what the sons of man are building? I mean, we know they're b'nei Odom. What are they? Are they perhaps b'nei Chamorim or Gemalim? Are they the sons, the children of donkeys and camels? We know they're the children of men. Elo b'nei Odom Arishon. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that these are the true sons of Adam Arishon, of the first man, Shekofa Esatova, because he was an ingrate. V'omara Isha Hashem Osati Imodi, because he blamed HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving him the woman. So af elu kofi betova, these also are ingrates. Limrei b'mishi hishpiyam teva u'malta min ha'mabel, these people should have been full of gratefulness, full of thankfulness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the flood destroyed everyone except Noach and his family, and these were the descendants of Noach and his family. And instead they turn around and they want to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see this is a strain in mankind, to be kofi teva, to be ingrates, but it is not a good quality, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like it. We've elaborated on this in the past a number of times. We don't have time this evening to elaborate on it. We'll just make a point or two. But I once heard from the late Chaim Berlin Rosh Yeshiva, Hagon Rabbi Yitzchok Kuttner Zichron Livracha, that he said that in his relationships with all of the Gdalim that he associated with, he associated with a lot of Gdalim because, first of all, he was from Warsaw. So there he associated with the Polish Gdalim. And then he learned in Slobodka. And there he saw the altar, Rabnotis Fihersh, the altar of Slobodka. He learned by, and he learned by Ramesh Motka Epstein. And he learned by the Slobodka Rosh Hashimus. And then later on, he went to Eretz Yisrael and he learned by Rav Kook, Zichron Livracha. So he associated with a lot of the Gaonim. So he said once, he said that in all of his associations with the Gaonim and the Gdalim, he saw one thing very clearly. Whenever they would see a person who didn't have the quality of HaKadosh HaTov, of appreciation for someone or something that was done good to him, he was a kofi b'teva. So as far as they were concerned, as can mention it, they didn't want to have anything to do with the person. As can mention it, he's not a tzuras odom, he's not a person. He says this is what he saw by them. In other words, it was he called it a mufrach legamri. Certain people, I mean, everybody has chisreinus, everybody has their shortcomings. There's no perfect man in the world, so everyone has their shortcomings. But, right, it's a man, she's a person with shortcomings. But when they would see someone who lacked the quality to be thankful to someone that did some good for him, or to something, they didn't want to have anything to do with that person. That's not a tzuras or odom. It's not a person. And they felt nothing will ever come from that person. This is what he once said over. The ikar though, what is it dependent on? What is dependent on is that a person, whatever happens to him, he must not look at the safe dover, what's happening to him. He must look at the racist dover, where it's coming from. For example, you give a piece of bread to an oni, to a starving person, he's going to look at the piece of bread. Now he must go deeper than that. He must look at where's the bread coming from. You look at the piece of bread, so you grab the piece of bread and eat it, and you're on your way. You say, look, the bread saved my life. It wasn't the bread that saved your life. It was the person that gave it to you saved your life. There's a Medrash that it's a medrash by Moshe Rabbeinu that when Moshe was by the well after he fled from Mitzrayim, he came to Midian, and there were the daughters of Yisro, and the daughters were being harassed by the shepherds, and their lives were in danger because the people hated Yisro at that time, because Yisro had separated himself from the rest of the people. Moshe went and saved them. So they came home, and Yisro said, Yom so early tonight? And he went and he gave water to all of the sheep, Yom so early. So they said, Ish Mitzri Hitzilunu. An Egyptian saved us. So everybody, well, who's the Egyptian that saved them? So the simple shot, the simple meaning is Moshe was from the palace of the king. So he dressed up as an Egyptian nobleman. So they thought he was an Egyptian. But there's a medrash, and Chaim Shmulevitz, Zichron Baruch, brings this medrash. The medrash that says that we have to go to the origin why we were saved. Maybe Moshe must have told him this. You were saved by an Egyptian, not by me. Because the Egyptian that I killed, that forced me to flee from Egypt and to come to Midian. Had not been for that Egyptian, so I wouldn't have been here to save you. Therefore, Ish Mitzri Hitzilunu. See, an Egyptian saved us. They were looking not into the saved over, but into the Tchilas HaDover. And if you stop to think, this is Kol Avedas HaOdom. This is the whole life of a person in this world. Because everything that we get, if we look into the Tchilas HaDover, to the origin, it's ultimately coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we will have the Akor, the recognition of Hashem, and the appreciation for him. If we look at the Sof Dover, well, that's where you get these people that are just interested in grabbing. It's like there used to be a Sfadi, Rav here used to say, these people think that they're at a birthday party. They think this world is a birthday party. You come in and you grab. You grab some candy, some sweets, and you grab some cake, and you grab some this. You see? So that's what it means. Kofui teva or akorasatov. One more point on this. And this was said over, would be said over often from Rabbi Elimeir Zichron Baruch Hu. It tells the Rosh Hashanah. That in the Shira, the Ojosh Yemecha, so it states, in Bishalach, Ze Keli Van Behu, Elekei Ovi Varamamenu. This is in Shmeis Tesvov Posuk Beis. Ze Keli Van Behu, this is my God, and I will beautify him. Elekei Ovi Varamamenu. The God of my fathers, and I will exalt him. Now, there's a discrepancy in the Posuk. Because first it states, Zeh Keli, this is my God. And then it says, Elekei Ovi, the God of my fathers. Is this your God or the God of your fathers? So there's a grog. There's a number of Perushim. But the Chazal bring, and that's what Rashi brings. He says like this. Zekeli, this is my God. All right, good that we understand. Elekei Ovi, le ani tchilas hakdusha. Ele mukzekes veimedes li hakdusha. Ele kusay olai mimei avoisai. When they saw the great miracles, and they saw the armies of Egypt become destroyed, and they saw the sea split, and this was all for them. Zekeli, this is my God, look what God is doing for me. So that gives a gvura to a person of strength. So then they corrected themselves. It's not your God. Didn't start with you. Elekei Ovi. It's Elekei Ovi. It started with our forefathers. And if not for our forefathers, we would be nothing. Lo ani tchilas hakedusha. I'm not the beginning of the kedusha. El mukzekes veimedes li hakedusha velakusay olai miimei avoisai. I inherited it all. See, and it comes from my fathers. It's the same thing that many times you find someone, and he'll tell you about the big business he has, but he'll forget to tell you that his father started him off in the business. And had his father not started him off in the business, he wouldn't have a business at all. You see? Muxekes ve'emedes me'avoisai. So this is a very important yesod. This was said many times, emphasized by the Talzer Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe Meir, and this is what we're speaking about here. Let's go to another point now. So, Adam shifted the blame to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to the woman. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the woman and he said, "Vayema Hashem Elokim li'isha, ma'azei sosiso? What is this that you did? Matei isha nochas hishiani ba'echel." So the serpents, the women said that it was the serpent that seduced me and I ate. Vayema Hashem Elokim ala nochas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the serpent and he said, "Ki osiso zos, because you've done this, orva tomi kol abehima, you are cursed from all of the animals, umikol chayas asod, and from all of the wild beasts of the field. Al gechein chasele, you will crawl on your belly, ba'ofa teichal, and you will eat the dust of the earth, kol yumecha yechol, the days of your life. Ve'evo oshish beinucho, uveino isho, and I shall place hatred between you and between the woman. Ubein zaracho, ubein zaro, and between your seed and between her seed." Who, in other words, there will be a constant war between the seed of the woman, that's mankind, and between the seed of the serpent. Who yishuv choresh, he will constantly try to crush your head. Batotu shufenu, okay, when you will try to kill him by biting the seal. Now these were the curses that were given to the serpent. Now, what were the meanings of these curses? So firstly, let me quote the Gemara in Seita, which I believe we did in a shiur not long ago. The Gemara in Seita brings and test on the base, or test safe on the Aleph and on the base. Tana Rabbanan. Gemara brings that you should never put your eyes on something which does not belong to you and which is not for you. When we say put your eyes, that means to want it and to try to take it. Shekola nesin eino bamesh eino shaloi, because whoever places their eyes on something or someone that is not for them, mashimavakesh einaisnulay, what they want to take, they will not get. We will not give it to them. Umashibiyodai naitlin hemeno, and even what they have, they will lose. So in other words, they will become a double loser. Somebody wants to take something which is not theirs. So not only they won't get it, it'll be lost to them, but even what they already have will be lost to them. The Gemara is talking in this particular case by an unfaithful wife that has her eyes on another man. So not only she won't get him, she'll lose her own husband. So the Gemara brings v'chei motzinu v'noche shakamoni. We see this by the ancient serpent. Now, what did he want? He wanted Chava. He wanted Adam to be killed, and he wanted to marry Chava. What he wanted, it wasn't given to him. Not only that, what he already had was taken away from him, because the Nochash, the serpent, was a very, very gifted animal. We mentioned in the past the bull was the king of all of the domesticated animals, and the eagle was the king of all of the fowl, and the lion was the king of all of the wild beast game. But the serpent, he was the king of all of the creatures. And then man was the king over him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the king over everyone. So the serpent used to walk upright, like a king, and everybody else would bow down to him. And the serpent was enormously intelligent and enormously talented. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ani amati melech al kol beimei v'chaya. I said that you would be king over all of the animals and the beasts. Akshav oru hu mikol habeim mikol chayis asoda. The curse was is that you should be cursed from all of the animals. We see that. We see not only is cursed to man, that man always hates a snake, but the animals also do also. You'll never find snakes walking together with other animals. Many times you'll find animals walking together. Many times you'll come to a water hole and there'll be many species of animals there. But you'll never find a snake amongst them. Ani amati yahalech became a zukufa. I said that you will walk upright because you're a king. Now you will crawl on your belly. He took his legs away from him. Cut his legs off. Ani amati yimachol amaychol odom. I said you would eat like man. Akshav ofer yoch. Now you will eat from the earth itself, the dust of the earth. Hu amar ereges odom versus chava. You wanted to kill man and to marry chava. Akshav eva oshis beinoch beincho beino isho uvein zaracho vein zaro. Now can there be greater hatred than between a woman and a snake? He wanted the woman. Now he lost women forever. Whenever they see a snake, they scream. And then the Gemara goes on to other cases. So this was all because whenever a person wants something and he tries to take it, and it's not for him and it doesn't belong to him, it belongs to someone else, not only will ultimately he will lose that, but even what he has he also will lose. So this is the story of the serpent, and this is what happened to him. Now, the snake beforehand, though, to let you know just how much he felt because of this. The snake is the most hated of all the animals. There are certain people that seem to like snakes, the snake charmers. So once in a while you'll find those who seem to enjoy snakes. Sometimes even there are women also that will bring up snakes. But they're very, very rare, and there's certain exception to the rule. But mankind hates a snake. He's become hated from all of the of all living creatures. But we have to understand how mikotze el kotze, how from one extreme to the other, he was in the ultimate of brocha, and he went to the ultimate of klolo. The Gemara brings in Masechta Sanhedrin, Nun Tes Amud Beis. Mother says, Reb Sanya, Reb Shimon Menasya Omer, Chaval al Shamish Gordel Shoavad Min Ha'ilam. Chaval. Chaval means how unfortunate it is. Such a great servant was lost for the world. She'il Molei Liniskal al Nochesh, if not, that the serpent was cursed, kol echod echod miYisrael or mizdam leshnei nechoshim tovim. So every Israel, every Jew, would have two prize serpents. Echod mishagrei letzofein, one he would send in the north. Echod mishagrei ledorim, one he would send southward. Lohavi lei san lubunim tovim va'avonim teves umargolias. And he would instruct them that you must bring me back diamonds and rubies and emeralds and pearls. And they would all come back with all of the goods. And not only that, but they would put a harness on his tail. And he would build for him. He would move stones and he would move dirt and he would plow for him. So this
These were the talents of the snakes, and he would have been man's best friend. See? Man's best friend. And now he's become the most hated between men. So this shows you what happens when you do not listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem. Especially he was the cause of it all. Then we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, before you stood up straight, now I'm taking your legs off and you will crawl on your belly. I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think there's another species of animals that crawl so low. You have Ramoshim, if you have the creeping insects, or you have certain creeping other things that creep on the ground or in the ground. But that's a different meaning. That was a different species. The snake himself was from the animal kingdom. And I don't think you'll find anything from the animal kingdom. You'll find toll. You know, you can have a giraffe, you can have an elephant, you can have other ones that are smaller, but have no legs whatsoever. And they crawl right on their belly. I don't know, I might be mistaken, but does a snake have any legs whatsoever, even tiny legs? Nothing. So in other words, here he had the greatest legs where he stood up straight, and they were cut off totally. Actually, now, from this, is a very good svara that I saw in the Torah Tumima. He said, why is it that he eats offer? He eats from the dust and the dirt of the earth itself. He says, because it's the teva, the nature of the world, where every level of life lives off of the level below him. See? Larger animals feed off the animals that are a little smaller than them, and they feed off of animals that are smaller than them, and it goes all the way down to the insects, like in the sea, the big fish off the little fish, and so forth and so on. The serpent was knocked down to the lowest level of life that there is. So therefore, he eats from the earth itself. See? He was put down to the lowest level of earth, of life, and therefore his food becomes the earth itself. Also, now, we can understand, now, we all know that snakes, there are snakes that are not poisonous, but the danger of a snake is not his bite. The danger of a snake is his poison. There are some very, very dangerous poisonous snakes. Most dangerous snakes are very dangerously poisonous. We can ask a question, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him the poison? It could have been sufficient that he has a bite. You take animals. Animals bite, but they don't have a poison. The answer is very good. We can give a very good answer, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that there'll be, you wanted Chava, I will make where there'll be a constant hatred and war between you and Chava and all of your seed. Man will try to kill you, and you will try to kill him. Now, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut all his legs off, and he has to crawl on the ground, so all he can do is bite the heel of a man. Like it says, Atot Tishofenu Okev. And when you bite the heel, that's not a mortal wound. That can do very little to man. If you could, you're a big animal, so you bite a person in the head, Chas v'Shalom, or in the heart, it's a different story. But you bite the heel, you're not going to do much. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he can't go higher, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give him an eris. He had to give him poison. So in his war with man, he would be able to be a danger to man. Now also from all of this, the Chazal learned not only to the snake, but to Loshon Hara. Because the snake is called the Bala Loshon, the Bala Loshon Hara. For a few reasons. Firstly, he was the one who introduced Loshon Hara to the world. Because when the women told the snake that, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu said not to eat from this tree, so he said, this tree is not going to harm you. if it's not going to harm us, so why did Hashem say we shouldn't eat? He said, because Hashem ate from this tree and created the world. And this is where Hashem got his wisdom from. And he doesn't want anyone else to get wisdom from this tree and be like him. Therefore, he told you not to eat from the tree. Now he went and he said, Loshon Hara, Ana Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Loshon Hara kills. This is what Shlomo HaMelech said, King Solomon. He said, Hamoves Biyad HaLoshon. The tongue is a potential killer. And we know it kills. The Rambam writes that on Loshon Hara and Rechilus, he says, Hareg kills Rabbi Mishrael. We have countless cases of that. Countless cases of that. All over. The Chumash and the Nach and Maisim B'chol Yom. So Loshon Hara kills. And this tree killed. This is the tree that brought death into the world. Yemachofu, Tomus, when you will eat from it, you will die. And it was the snake that ate the Loshon Hara, and the snake was associated with this tree. So this is all one. The tree, Mova's death, the snake, and Loshon Hara. And that's how the Chazal look at it all. And from here we see the Keach HaLoshon. The Chazal bring that Loshon Hara is Kishmei, Kenu, like its name, it's Ra. If you talk good things with your mouth, that's Achaim B'Yad HaLoshon, brings life, real life. Miyaisha Chofetz Chaim, who wants life? Guard your tongue. But when you speak evil with it, then it's total ra, it's total evil. And this is like the snake was. He was evil in essence. Kodesh Baruch Hu built such a wonderful, beautiful world. They were in Gan Eden, in paradise. And the snake came and he turned everything over. Because of his own hatred of man, and he wanted Chabah. So this was the ultimate in evil. And the Chazal tell us further, the snake today is evil. Because animals, by nature, will not attack man, and they will not destroy man. Unless they're cornered, they're guarding their young, so they're threatened, or they're desperate for food. But otherwise, they're not interested. The snake bites, even though he doesn't eat. You get too close to a snake, he'll bite man, he'll kill a man, and he won't eat. So we see, this is the ultimate of evil. This is like the sniper in Washington. Now, the Chazal tell us, it says, Lo'osi lovei, in the world to come, niskapsu kol achayis. This is a Gemara in Masech Derechin. Niskapsu kol achayis. All of the animals will come together, al anochesh, to the serpent. And they'll all be temea, they'll all wonder at him. They'll say, Manishtanami kol achayis, why are you different than all of us? Dari, the lion, he will tear because he wants to eat. And the zev and the wolf will tear and destroy because he wants to eat. But you, mahanois lecho, you kill without having any physical desire whatsoever. You just destroy for the sake of destruction, for the sake of hatred. This is what the last asked the serpent. So you know what the serpent will answer? He'll answer, what do you look at me like? I'm some type of odd creation. Go to man. Go to the Bala Loshon. Go to the one who speaks Loshon Hara. Does the same thing. He says, the one that will eat Treifus. Kodesh Baruch Hu can excuse him. Because Yitzro talk for him. His Yetzirah got the best of him. So he went into a Treva restaurant. And the one will take a woman that he shouldn't take. Kodesh Baruch Hu will do tshuva, Kodesh Baruch Hu will excuse him. Because the Yetzirah got the best of him. But the Baal HaLoshon, Mahano Islocha, what drove him? What did he have from it? What drove him was hatred, was ra, to destroy. So this is what the Chazal tell us. The serpent will say, what are you looking at me like? I'm some odd creature, I'm some oddball. He says, go to man. You'll find it all the time by man also. But one thing the serpent doesn't tell us, that man learned it from the serpent. And that's why the serpent was cut down to size. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the Isha, Al Isha Amar, Harba Arba Itzfeinech Veheironech, that I will multiply your pain and suffering when you give birth. Be'etzev Teldi Bonim, with suffering you will give birth to your children. Ve'li'isheich tishukaseich, your desires will be to your husband, v'huyim shalboch, and he will dominate you. Now this that it states, harba arba itfaneich ve'hironeich, ve'etzev tildibonim, the Chazal darshan three tzoris, three afflictions the woman was given. One was sar ibor, that when she becomes pregnant, she will have suffering from it. Tzar leido, one will be that when she gives birth, she will have suffering from it, and the other will be tzar gidl bonim, to bring up her children will not be easy. And from here we learn, this is what the sages tell us, that before this, there was no problem. That a woman would conceive, she would be pregnant, she would give birth without any pain or suffering whatsoever. And evidently the Tzad Gidl Bonim, the bringing up of the children also, would be without any pain or suffering whatsoever. There's a Medrash in Medrash Rabbah, Perachov, Osvov, Omer Blezeb Reb Shimon. Blezeb Reb Shimon said, Neach Leila Odom Legadl Ligyoin Echod Mishal Zesim Begalil. It's easier for a person to bring up a whole legion. Legion, that's actually a Roman word. A legion was a great multitude of soldiers. A whole legion of olives in the Galil. They grew olives there. It's easier for a person to tend to multitudes and multitudes of olives, even though they need a lot of caring for. And you got to take good care of them, than to bring up one kid in Eretz Yisrael. Now there's a few perushim. What does it mean? Actually, the Medrash HaMavura brings two perushim. It could be speaking about some meforshim, some commentaries learn, speaking about actual olives. That olives need a lot of care, and it's still easier for people to tend large olive groves, enormous olive groves, the whole season, than to bring up one child. Others learn it's actually talking about a legion of soldiers, that when the Romans occupied Eretz Yisrael, so they had big camps there, and it was the farmers of the Galil were responsible to provide food for the legions of the Romans from their olive groves. So he says it's easier to take care of a legion of Romans, just give them the food they want, than to bring up one child of yours. It's interesting also because children are compared to olives. It states, Kizesim Soviv Shulchanecha. This is in Tilim, that your children will be like your olives that surround your table. But from here we see that these curses were very, very difficult curses, unfortunately. And that's why the world is not an easy world. And the Tzar Gidl Bonim, this the tzoris of bringing up children, is not an easy task. Now he came to Odom. And to Odom he said, Odom Amar ki shomate lekol ishtecha, because you listened to the voice of your wife. Vateichal, it's interesting, he didn't say because you did this, he said because you listened to the voice of your wife. It could be a Kodesh Baruch Hu's answering Odom in the way Odom said. Odom says, look, it's not my fault, it's your fault because you gave me this woman. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I gave you the woman, but and when she tells you good things to do, you should listen to her. But when she tells you good things that are not good, then that's your responsibility. You're not obligated to listen. So because you listened to her, and you ate from the tree which I commanded you, not to eat, so the earth will be cursed because of you. Then you came from the earth, so I will curse the earth. And you will eat from the earth with great sufferings. Before, they used to, everything came up by itself. Beautiful crops. See. Now, you will toil and you will plant. You will plant your crops and kates and darda tatzmieloch, and will come out all types of thorns and thickets and weeds and all kind of other stuff. And you will eat the grass of the earth, of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat bread. Until you return to the earth from where you were taken. Because you are offer, you were from the earth, and you will return to the earth. Now, whose curse? Well, the serpent's curse was probably the worst of them all. But between man and woman, which curse is greater? The woman has the burden of bearing the children and everything that goes with it. But the man has the burden of growing the panoso and everything that goes with it. So, whose would you say is worse? So the Gemara Psochim and Daf Kuf Yud Ches Omer Aleph Omer B'Yechanan. B'Yechanan says, Koshim is a nesiv shel odem kiflaim kayeledo. The man's curse was twice as worse as the man, as the woman. Twice as worse. See, so the women shouldn't complain too much. It's twice as hard as to bear the responsibility of making a living, of panosa, than to bear the responsibility of the children. Of course, if you've got a wife that's working too, that's a different story. See? That's a totally different story. Now, that's what the Rabbi Yechanan said. It was kiflaim. It's twice as much. How do we know? Because ksiv be'etziv, by the woman, when it came to how she will give birth, there it states be'etzev, itzvonech, with suffering. That's singular. But by the man, there it states be'itzavon, plural. And the Rishbam says, Tati Mashma. So we see it's twice as much. The sufferings are double. I saw in the Torah Tamima, he says a very, very good sfora, a good logic, why it should be that way. See, we could ask, why? Why did man get more? Why was it double dished out to man than to woman? You could say the other way, the woman is the one who brought the man into chait. So he says, no, by rights man should have been more severe, because Chava really never heard the tzivui from Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu never commanded Chava not to eat. She heard it secondhand from man. But man heard it right from HaKodesh Baruch Hu himself. So he should for sure have been more careful Therefore, by rights, he received a greater portion of the curse. Now, there's a kasha here. It states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, and this is a great, very, very great principle we hear from here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the earth will be cursed, and your planting will be cursed, and your crops will be cursed, and you'll plant and it'll come difficult with difficulty, and you'll have to contend with the thorns and the thickets and the weeds and everything else, and you'll eat from the grass. And then it says, "Bezeis apecha techal lechem," with the spread of the brow of your brow you will eat bread. What's that coming to add? I mean, we've already said all that. We couldn't have said more. We said that the whole earth is cursed. And you will eat with suffering. It says, "Bitzovon tochalema." You will eat with suffering, and there will be thorns and thickets and whatnot, and you'll eat from the grass. Then all of a sudden it says, "Bezeis apecha techal lechem," with the sweat of your brow you eat from bread. You'll eat your bread. What is this coming to add? The truth of the matter is, contrary to public opinion, this was not a curse. This was a brocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reversed, enlightened the cursed, and said, "Bezeis apecha techal lechem." This is a brocha. And everybody complains. "Bezeis apecha." We eat, we have to work so hard, we sweat for our bread. This was a brocha. Where do we see that? The Gemara also Mzochim. The same Gemara. The Gemara brings also in Kuf Yud Ches Omer Aleph, Omer B'Shua Ben Levi, B'Shua Shama HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Odom Keitz V'Darda Tatzmiach Loch. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Odom that you're going to have to plant, and you're going to have thickets, thistles, and grass, and that's what you're going to eat. Zolgu Einov Dimos. Odom started to weep bitterly. Why? Not because he'll have to work so hard. Omar Lefonav Ribbeinu Shel Olam, he says, "Master of the world, ani v'chamori meichal be'evus echod." Are you telling me that you have demoted me to the level where I and my donkey will eat from one tray? He'll eat grass and I'll eat grass. He'll eat whatever grows wildly and I'll eat that. Is that what you've done to me? And he started to weep bitterly. Kivan Shomar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "All right. Bezeis apecha techal lechem." He says, "By the sweat of your brow you will eat bread. Your donkey will eat the weeds and what grows. And he'll eat the raw grain. You will sweat and you will eat bread." Niskara daita. Oh, he says, that's a different story. That's a different story. So Zeis apecha techal lechem was a brocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw in the end to pacify man. Now what is this telling us? And this is a very deep maral that tells us some very, very strong principles. And the maral says as follows. The maral is in the Siva Avoda, Perek Yud Zayin, first he brings a medrash from Medrash Tanchuma. But first he asks a question. He says, well, first he makes a statement. He says, "Lechem is the ikah chiyusi shel odom, the main chiyus." The main panoso, which keeps a person alive, is bread. Like it states, we had in the Parsha not long ago in Vayera, when the angels came to Abraham, Abraham said, "Ve'ekho pas lechem v'sa'adu libchem." Come in, I will go bring some bread, and you will sustain your hearts. So the Gemara brings from there the Chazal, "Bishleisha makomais motzinu shelechem so'ed." B'Torah, b'nevim u'ksuvim. That in the Torah and the Nevim and the Ksuvim we find that the Torah praises bread because it sustains a person. Other things are good for people. We must have other things also, but they will not sustain the person like bread. Now we're talking about real bread, we're not talking about junk bread, say. And this is the grain, but the grain is made into bread. Actually, nutritionists have found lately, this is the nutritionists every few years change their direction, but the current direction, this is the current direction. And that is, we see all the time from the halachas in Chazal, because we see that if you don't eat bread, you make a brocha on everything you eat. But if you eat bread, then you make a meitzi, and you don't make any other brochas. Why is that? Because the Gemara says that we, and that's called the suda. See, that's called a meal. The other is called a te'ima, a snack. So a suda is only with bread. If it's not bread, it's not a suda. It's a snack, and there's many ramifications in aloha. So the Gemara says, well, why when you eat bread you just make a brocha lapas and you don't make on anything else? Because everything is naseh tofel lapas, because everything becomes secondary to the bread. The bread is the main part of the meal, and everything just finds its place with it, to be eaten with the bread. See? And in old days, that's what they used to do. The main part was the bread, and the other things were they ate a little of everything else. Today, we have so many things, so we eat and we don't eat the bread, but that's not the das of the Torah. At any rate, we always find that it states lechem yisod. The fact is, because of that, all panos is usually referred to as lechem. They say lechem, the whole basar. That's just a borrowed term, but this is what it is. Now, now we can ask a question, he says. He says, why is it that all animals of the field, their parnosa is ready made for them? So all they have to do is go out to the trees and pick it off the trees, or go out to the pasture and eat from the pasture. Man, who's the Bechir, I call Nivra Bishvilcha, man who is the king, and the whole world was given to him, nothing's ready made. His Iker Chiyus, his main Chiyus, his main Parnos is not made. He has to go, and he has to plant it. Can't eat wild. He has to take care of it, he has to cultivate it. And then even after he harvests it, what does he have? Raw grain, raw corn, whatever. So he has to bring it home. He has to winnow it. He has to do all types of things to it, sort it. Still not ready. Then he has to bake it or cook it. First make it into flour, to mill it. Finally, he's got his lechem. We should say to the contrary. We should say, let the animals go to all that trouble and ours should be already made. This is a question he asks. Now, the Medrash Rabbah in Medrash Tanchuma Parshas Tazria says as follows. Sho'al Turans Rufus. Turans Rufus HaRosha asked Rabbi Kiva, "Eizu maisim noim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shel Bos Vadon? Whose works are greater, Hashem's works or man's works?" So it seems to be a simple question. Naturally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's works are far greater than man's works. Rabbi Kiva answered the opposite. Omalei shel Bos Vadon. He says man's works are greater than Hashem's works. So Omar Lei, so Turans Rufus said, He says, I don't understand what you're saying. Go look out. Go outside. Look at the heavens. Look at the earth. Look at the stars. These are Hashem's works. Can man do that? Amar Rabbi Kiva says, no, that's not a fair point. He says, you can't bring a proof from something which is beyond man and he has no power over. There man has no power. He has no jurisdiction. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, let's talk about things that were given over into man's jurisdiction. And then we'll see whose works are better, man's or Hashem's. Then he said, Toras Nusras, he says, Omar Lei Lama Temulim. He says, why do you circumcise yourselves? Omar Lei, so Rabbi Kiva says, Ani Oyisi Yadea shall, this is in Parshas Tazria, because there it says, Obiyem Ashmini Imo, the eighth day you should make the Bris Mila. Omar Lei, Ani Oyisi Yadea shall Dovazato Sha'alani. He says, I knew that this is what you were coming to, Rabbi Kiva said. Lakachi Damti. Therefore I pre-warned your question, and I said that the acts of man are better. In other words, you're asking me is that here a man is created uncircumcised. Now that's Hashem's works. We circumcise. So what are we going to improve on Hashem's works? That's why he said whose works are better? Must be Hashem's. So Rabbi Kiva went and instructed his servant to bring shibolim, the loose kaosh. He says, go bring me raw grain in one basket, and another basket, I want you to bring me beautiful loaves of breads and cakes and pastries. And he put the two in front of this Roman nobleman, and he says, tell me, which are nicer? You think the grains are better? Eat them. Or the beautiful breads and the cakes and the pastries. So what do we see from there? We see that man's works are greater than Hashem's works. Now, what was going on? So the Maral explains. He says, you have what is called Teva, nature. Nature is enormous. So naturally we should think that nature is a far greater force and a far more majestic force than man. Look what nature can do. Not so. It's not so. And it can't be. Because the world was created for man. Man was given the dominance over nature. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the world to man, and he said, he says, you will rule over this whole world. You will rule over the animals, you will rule over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the heavens. So how can you say that nature is greater? He says, there's no doubt about it, man is far greater than nature. And the reason for this is because nature, this power that Kodesh Baruch Hu made, the power of nature, this is chumrius, this is a physical power. There is no spiritual power in nature, so therefore it belongs to the physical world. Man was made from both worlds. The Chazal tell us he was made offer min adoma b'yutach b'apav nishmas chayim. He was made from both worlds, this world and the upper world, and therefore he has the spirit, he has the soul, he has the seichel, the mentality, the intellect. Nature can only do what it's instructed to do, what it was created to do. Man does what he wants. If he wants to do good, it's not because he was created and instructed to do good. He does it because of his own spirit, if he wants to do evil also. So man is far greater than the Teva, than the nature. And that's why the whole nature was given over to him to rule. And the proof of the pudding is because nature can create grain. But only man can perfect it into bread. And that's why nature created man. Nature was the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created man to be uncircumcised. A man with the mitzvahs Hashem circumcises him. And this is what Rabbi Kiva was telling over this Roman nobleman to Rams Rufus. Now, why is it, we asked, that all of the animals, they go and they know where to go and they eat. Everything is there for them. A man has got to go through a whole number of processes before his food is ready for him. He has to make his food for him. So he says, very simple. The animal, which is at the level of the teva, the level of the physical nature. So the physical nature can provide life for him. So the fields can grow grass for the animals. But man, who stands at both worlds, how can the physical nature provide life for a man who is both of a physical and spiritual nature? Physical nature can't. And therefore, his bread has to be a product of both the physical and spiritual forces, not a product of the physical forces alone. Therefore, it has to be a product of man. And man's efforts and intellect and intelligence and toil must go into it, and especially in the bread, which is his main chiyus, his main life. If man was merely a product of a physical nature alone, limited to the physical nature, so he could eat the grass from the earth and live from it. But if he's standing at both worlds, and he's a product of the physical and spiritual world, he can't live off of grass. He's going to have to live together with something which has in it the input of both the physical nature and the spirit. And this is what struck Adam HaRishon. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and told him, he says, Arura, the earth shall be cursed, and it'll grow all kind of wild things, and you'll eat Me'esev HaSodeh. So Adam wasn't worried about that. But he says, Ani v'chamori nechal me'eves echod. I and my donkey are going to eat the same substance from one tray. You've demoted me now to a behemoth. I'm no longer the Adam. What happened to the Tzelem Elokim? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no. B'zeyas ha'pecha teichal lechem. You will eat bread that will come from the sweat of your brow. There was a brocha. Because from the fact that it comes from the sweat of the brow, that means that you're going to have to put spiritual energy into it. Not if it would come from the nature itself, it'd come by itself, like everything else comes by itself. Nature takes care of it. But from the fact that you're going to have to sweat for it, you're going to have to put your brains in it, you're going to have to put your heart in it, you're going to have to put your soul in it. Once Adam heard that, he says, that's a different story. See, my donkey will eat whatever grows wild, but I will eat food for a man. So this was a brocha. It's getting late, so we must conclude. We'll just conclude with this final pasuk that states, Vayas Hashem Elokim LaAdam LeIshtei Kostnei Sor VaYal Bishem. Kadosh Baruch Hu made for the Adam and his wife kostnus or, these were garments. So a question, what kind of garments? Vayal Bishem, and he clothed them. So the Gemara brings in Saita, Mesech to Saita, Daf Yud Dalet, Dorash Reb Simloi. Reb Simloi darshit. Gidele Gamilas Chasodim. We see how great Gamilas Chasid is. because the Torah begins with the Gemilas Chesed. The Torah begins here. This is at the beginning of the Torah, and it states HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and made clothing for them. So this is a Chesed, and it ends with Gemilas Chesed. The end of the Torah tells us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu went by Yikvarese Bagai, and he buried Moshe Rabbeinu in the valley. So this was a Gemilas Chesed. To tell us, this tells us that the essence of the Torah is the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.